Hello, 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 and thank you for dancing with us today on Dancing in the Discomfort Zone podcast with your host, Anne Bonny. That's me. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We are talking to Chris West, good friend of mine, colleague, very respected colleague. Chris is the founder of Video Narrative Inc., and it is a company that creates amazing branded videos specifically for professional speakers. And I worked with him in 2022 and was really impressed with his process, and then got to know him as a human and was even more impressed with the human that he is. So I decided to welcome him and talk about his journey of reinvention. This is something that at a certain age, you start to think about your life and reassess, and how do you want the second half to be? Which is certainly something I've been doing. And so Chris comes on and very courageously shares his story with us. So without further ado, enjoy this episode with Chris West. We are dancing in the discomfort zone today with Chris West, the founder of Video Narrative Inc. and a very cool individual. Chris, how are you doing today?
Oh, Anne, you are the best. I'm so happy to be with you. Seriously.
And you're dancing today in Portland, right? Portland, Oregon?
Yep, coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
Is that where you're from?
No, I grew up in Boise, Idaho. I came to Portland because, you know, it was like the weird place in the country to go if you just, and I liked how it just drew in all these very weird people all over the planet. Everyone just felt like they could be themselves, right? But I am now very ready for sun. So probably next time you talk to me, I'll be somewhere a lot sunnier. Who knows where it is? But I like to just kind of focus on what I want and let the how be up to the universe.
I'll work itself out. Well, and this is something that I'm excited to talk to you about today, because focusing on what you want often leads people, specifically you, to dance in the discomfort zone quite a bit. And then it was funny because in the sort of pre-show questionnaire, you said, what's not in this area? So tell me a little bit about your journey. I mean, wherever you want to start and however long you want to go, but it's been a long and winding road to get here.
Yeah, no, I really think it's like a wonderful, terrifying thing to decide that in this life, you only get to be you once. And it's a phrase we've all heard, but I just love, like, I just saw it the other day and I was like, that is so right. It's like, life is not a dress rehearsal. You know, so many of us are waiting to get ready, and it's just like, well, let's just do it. Right. And so I've made a personal commitment to myself that I really wanted to face my fears and like live a life that felt like a great story, and not a great story for the sake of telling it to anyone else, but that, you know, when you watch a movie, it's never like the person lives in fear and hangs out all the time. It's like the person tries things, explores life, and gets into some hard circumstances that then change them. And I kind of made a, yeah.
What? Hero's journey. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just made a commitment to myself that I was going to do that. And whenever I feel fear coming up, I'm going to do my best to like stay with it. And that has led to just a constant state of new experiences and, yeah, a lot of discomfort over the years, but like some really, really fun experiences.
Well, and a life well lived, you're one of those people, I think, similar to me, where every once in a while you're like, oh, you did that too. Oh, you did that too, which is kind of cool. Like you were building a fire and you were like, oh yeah, I used to guide in Alaska. And I'm like, wait, what, you what?
Yeah. Well, and I did. I had this incredible experience, and everybody needs a moment like this. I'm sure you've had it, but I really wanted that. I was looking for it, and I was 22, and I heard there was this guy who he studies graphology and studies handwriting, and he could look at your handwriting and tell you anything about your life. And I wanted to meet him. So I went up to him like, can I have a session with you? And he was like, sure. And it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year in college. And he said, write me 6 pages of writing, whatever you want to say, I don't care what, and then bring it to me. So I write these 6 pages of writing and I bring it to him, and he says, do you want me to, how deep do you want to go? And I'm like, go all the way.
Go all in.
Go all in. He's like, okay, I'll tell you the positive things first. You have one of the highest intuitions of any person I've ever seen on paper. You probably read every person you meet instantly and just know them, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, and it's to the point of when I look back, every person I meet, I get a flash of them in two ways almost instantly. It's like I see who they are and who they could be, like mm-hmm. that. And it's why I do personal branding. It's like I just have always been able to do that. But the problem was this, and this is what he brought up. You have this need to feel loved and to feel worthy and to feel valued. And because you have such a high level of intuition, you know what people need and you give it to them and you show up as that person rather than showing up as you. And he goes, here's my guess. You probably have had a lot of success. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you've done very well and you have a lot of friends. I'm like, yeah. He's like, have you ever reached a moment in your life to this point where you got the thing you were looking for and you felt good at it at the point? And I felt those hot tears on my cheeks before I knew I was crying, right? It's like when someone gets to like the center of you and pushes the button, you can't do anything but it. And that was, it's like the secret that I had always carried, which was like, nothing ever felt good enough. It's like no level of this ever felt good enough. And I would have gone on to a whole life of that. I've had a lot of life of that as I try to shift this, but it was like, we all keep thinking that the next thing or the next success or the next outcome will get us that thing we're looking for. And he said to me, here's the truth. You have two paths you can take. One, you can keep doing what you're doing and you're gonna have a lot of success in life. And you will look back on your life and you will see a lot of broken relationships and a lot of emptiness. He's like, or you could learn how to do self-love. And if you really learn self-love and self-worth, here's what will come. You will be so comfortable with you that you won't need to prove yourself to anyone. And then you can take that level of intuition. You can see things that other people won't see. You can hear things that other people won't hear, and you could change the world. That's your choice. And he's like, you know, if you want to do that latter part, I'd love to mentor you in it. And I was like, hell yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I want that one. Right. So that was the signing up moment when I was 22 for this life. But it hasn't been, it hasn't been that it sounds like a great, great idea when you start personal work, and it's always way worse than it sounds.
Dancing in the discomfort zone makes it sound like so much fun.
Yes.
Well, and as you were telling the story, I had to remind myself that was when you were 22, because you were just talking about how recently a little self-love piece clicked into place some years later.
Yeah, no, I'm 40 this year, and I tried to do it. I mean, the first 3 years, all it led to was me wanting to commit suicide. And I know that sounds deep and dark and all those things, but I think I haven't. It's hard for me to trust someone who hasn't gotten there at some point in their life. You know, at some point you realize that the way you're doing things, if you really try to change them, are so difficult to change that it's like, at some point you're like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, I thought I could start changing it, but all I had now was awareness of how much in every situation I was being the version of me that other people needed me to be. And it was like, I couldn't stop, but now I could see myself doing it. And up until then I had luck, you know, the safety of not realizing I was doing it. But now it's like, I was watching myself in a conversation being who that person needed to be and being like, stop, stop. But I couldn't. And then I looked back on my life and all I saw was kind of like this con man of experiences where I was conning people into feeling a certain way because I knew how. And I wanted to change it, but I couldn't. And so when I watched myself do it and try to change and do it and try to change and do it and try to change, it got to the point where 2 years later, I really didn't want to keep living because it didn't feel like I'd ever be able to change it, you know? And that has been a life. I actually ended up going to graduate school to be a counselor. Eventually I moved to Uganda. I thought if I moved to a place of complete service that would do the trick. So after college, I sold all my stuff and I moved to a little rural village in Uganda, Africa. And I just was like a teacher at an orphanage. And I thought that if I just like had nothing, did nothing and just served, that would do the trick. It does not. It doesn't. It just makes everything worse. It's like even here when I have no kind of like in the morning, I'd have to go to the well, get a jerry can and like fill it with water and then bring it back. And I would like pour it on myself for a shower. Right. And, you know, I thought if I like let go of all the comforts and just put myself in this like place of discomfort, I could like kind of cure myself of this fear I had about how to live differently. And it definitely didn't work. Mm. And then what happened was I just kept repeating patterns. I'd been, you know, I was young, taking care of my whole family. And guess what happened while I was there? The orphanage director got really sick and couldn't keep doing the work. And it was going to have to shut down if someone didn't take over. And so I took over as the director of the children's home. And then I spent the next 10 years of my life doing full-time work in the States and then traveling there once or twice a year and running the full home, taking care of 40 to 50 kids a year and the full income and the salary of it. And, you know, we all just keep repeating patterns of our childhood. And for me, as someone who took care of everyone, I saw that my value and worth in the world came from, if I did and served and gave enough in the world, then I had value. And that doesn't work either, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I started my-
It's never enough, right?
Yeah, it's never enough. When I started my company, I did that for clients, you know? I always just gave everything I could to make them as successful as possible. And they loved me for it, but I was exhausted and overwhelmed and stressed and all those things behind the scenes. So that didn't work either. So a good 20 years of doing it that way. And then when I was 36, decided to start trying to address this. And that led to the last 4 years have been the most radical discomfort and change in my personal life, in my marriage. I am no longer married. In my business, it's completely different now. In my personal life, where I live, what I do, like it's all 100% different now. And yet now, for the first time in my entire life, I feel this deep joy and this personal relationship with myself, and it feels like nothing can take it away. I feel more satisfied with me, and I'm being the version of me, and the things I always thought would happen, like some people wouldn't like me and I wouldn't be, all of it came true. It all came true, but it's not so bad because I have me and I'm not trying to be a version of me anymore.
Right. And it's not based on external success. It's that internal success. We'll figure the external out.
And the craziest thing, Anne, is that all the external success starts being way better and way more fulfilling, because before it wasn't going to fill it up.
Right.
Yeah. Things are getting easier and easier every day. And I'm working less and less and having more and more fun. And saying no to stuff all the time and watching people's eyes be disappointed. Like, but I thought you could do that. It's like, no, it doesn't really work for me, or it doesn't feel good to me. And as I watch their disappointment, I like see my own happiness. Because it's like, if it works for me, it works for me. Yes. If it doesn't, nope.
Yep. And in the end of the day, those that end up benefiting are those three little humans that you are ultimately responsible for.
Oh, yeah.
Your kids.
Yeah.
And they're going to be benefiting from this in a massive way.
I couldn't agree with you more, but there is the fourth, which is there is this little version of me inside, you know, that was not getting cared for. And it has always been taking the back seat to make sure I could care for other people. And I take care of him every day now. And my three little kids, who I adore. And those four people, they're getting the best of me these days.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome. And it's so funny because I remember I was at a personal development thing at one point, and they said, you need to sit down on the porch step with your little self, that little self that got left behind and is like, hey, what about me? And needs to be seen. And I remember sitting in my mind on this porch with my little six-year-old self, just putting my arm around her and said, I see you. And all of a sudden my face just exploded with tears. I was like, oh my God. It was just this incredible moment. So I could see how that fourth child is also getting what he needs.
Yeah. And it is one of those things where there's this book, I think you and I have talked about it before, called The Four Agreements.
Mm.
Have you ever read that one? Yeah. I mean, he talks about this idea, and it's so important, is that little kids, it was souls that come into the world, we're little kids and we get indoctrinated. And part of the work as an adult is to let go of, piece by piece by piece, all the stuff and the beliefs that you took on, that you were told to take on, and check if they actually work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do take them off one by one, become far more free And the reason that we don't take them off is we're so afraid of what it'll mean if we do and the discomfort it'll bring. But it's like, you're uncomfortable now, unless you're waking up every day radiating happiness and feel amazing and alive. And you look at all the little indications, like I have and feel like I have just plenty of the money I need. And I have the kinds of relationships and the kinds of joy, and I live where I want to live. Like, there's all these little indications of whether you're living the life you truly want to be living. And if you're not, it's like, well, if I change all this now, it'll be so painful. It's like, it will. And then it'll get way, way, way better.
Mm-hmm. So your choice. Yeah, exactly. And it is your choice. And I think that's what people don't realize. They think they don't have the choice, but we always have the choice. So let's just back up a year or so when you decided, and use the example of your business specifically, where you said, I've got this great thriving business. I'm saying this, you're very successful in the industry, sought after. I used you for my video. And you said, this life isn't working for me. I need to shift this. Yeah. How did you overcome all of the discomfort of, you know, I mean, you changed the business model, you know, which changed some people's trajectories and some people's expectations. And so talk a little bit about just the day-to-day how, because I think that's what trips people up.
Yeah. And I think the way I was running my company is a great example of people can just insert blank wherever is going on in their life. But for me, I know that I was building a company that everybody tells you to build, which is, you know, if you're building a company where you're working in it every day, then you're building a job. So you should build a company that works without you. Right. So it's like, that's what you do. And I get it. And so it was like, at that point we had built it up to have, you know, around 8 full-time employees. And that's not the biggest company in the world. Some people are really love building a company, but I loved the work itself. I loved the joy of the one-on-one and the connection and the beauty of work. But I was like, I'm going to just leave all that behind and I'm going to build this company and like have other people do the work for me. And so it was, you know, what happens is you find yourself waking up each day running meetings and budgets and off. And so I had a, you know, a COO and a lot of full-time employees and a big, beautiful studio and a lot of overhead and all the things you do when you build a company. Right. And what I knew and what I realized was that I actually like the work itself of telling people stories, the one-to-one work, and I wanted a lot more freedom and time in my life. And this, the way I was building it, it was another 3 to 5 years to maybe even get to where I thought I would want to get to. And at that point, it would be this elusive, now you're free, right? Yeah. And some people, it's their passion, joy to build a company like that. Great, but it wasn't mine. And so it's like, but if I change this, I'll have to disappoint all these people whose livelihood this is for. I'll have to disappoint this. I have to change my whole business model. I don't want any of my clients to be disappointed. Like all of the fears that we have. And I did just have to say like, but what do I truly want? And I luckily had an incredible resource and a counselor or a guide, whatever you want to call them, that I was working with on a weekly basis to go through this. And I eventually, you know, also had a business coach to really walk through this. So I do think it's important you have someone to walk through in it, but it was so painful to do. But I did shift my entire company over the last several years. And I didn't know how it would work. And I didn't know how I'd get to the other side. But to tell everyone, hey, I'm not having salary employees anymore. Like, I'm going to work with creators in the world. And I'm going to create a system and a process that allows me to pull in the right kind of creators when I need them. And that allows me to be free to take on as many projects or as little projects as I want. If I want to take a month off, I can, and I don't have a whole staff. So, you know, we got out of our lease in the building and we let that whole big structure go. And one by one by one, employees stopped being employees. And those who wanted to stay on as a great contractor designer did. And those who didn't, like, said, okay. And some people stayed with me, some people didn't. And today, if you asked every one of those people and you went around interviewing them all, I think some people will tell you that it was a shock and it was hard and all those things, but are you happier now? What I have learned is that when you do things that work for you, they tend to end up working for other people as well. If they're willing to just be like, how can I make this work for me?
Exactly.
You know? And so, like, for example, one of my most trusted team members he's gone on to start his own company and is just doing wildly successful, you know, and others work with me on a contract basis now, but also take other work on that they're loving. And one started being an adjunct professor somewhere and teaching film while just taking on projects never felt good for him.
Yeah.
And today another thing that's happened where it's just, we were able to also with a partner company start having international editors all over the world. And so I am able to do more for clients today than I did at the time. And yet I don't have any of the overhead or the worry or the stress that I did before. And the company is growing more than it's ever grown, but in a completely different way. And so, yes, it was uncomfortable. Yes, it was painful, but it's, you face the fear and then it gets better.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting because as you were talking about laying people off and changing their employment situation and everything, I thought, well, you know, you have a responsibility to them, but this is, you know, that was old, you know, thinking in my head of programmed thinking. And this goes right back to this whole self-love thing of we're responsible for our own happiness and our own situations. Nothing's guaranteed. Nothing's permanent. And you didn't have a responsibility for those people's lives. And like you said, those that took responsibility for their own lives said, okay, cool. I'm going to shift this around and make this a different situation. And now everybody's in a better place.
Yeah. But above all, even if they're not in a better place, other people are not our responsibility. And as someone who took care of responsibility of my family, which was a really struggling family growing up, and as someone who then took on responsibility of other people in college and then went on to direct a children's home and take on the responsibility of a lot of kids who lost their families and taking on other people's responsibilities has kind of been my life journey. And everyone's got their own version of that's their pattern since they were little. And you got to check out if you want it anymore.
And I think this is something that I've been playing with too, which is the intentionality of living, looking at my beliefs, looking at what I do, and does that work for me now? Is that mm-hmm. actually something that works for me now? And thinking critically about that. And sometimes the answer is no, I got to make an uncomfortable shift, but there's a reason we do this.
You know, it's amazing because everybody who has done their own inner work, when they're around someone who says, hey, this doesn't work for me, that lights up something in them to say, wow, I respect this person. I love that this person knows what does and doesn't work for them, and I respect it. Those who haven't done their work and are still kind of living in fear, they say to themselves, what a selfish person. Mm-hmm. But think about that statement. I don't like the way you're being, and I would rather you be the way I want you to be. And if you're not, you're selfish. It's actually like, that's backwards. Mm-hmm. That's a selfish statement. You know, these days, I want every person on the entire planet to do what feels good to them and feels right to them. And people are so afraid, like, well, people did what felt good to them whenever they wanted. They'd be walking around smoking cigarettes and punching people in the face. It's like, would they?
Those were the two things I came up with, but those are good examples. And they're doing that anyway.
Oh, well, everybody would just stop working and going to Vegas. It's like, that would not feel fun to people. You know, if you could trust that every person on the planet, when you asked them, do you want to come to dinner, said, that doesn't feel good tonight. And you're like, great. Right. Rather than, you know, I had a client in town, someone who you recently had on your podcast. And I take my clients to dinner as a part of their experience when they come to Portland. And it's a whole experience. It's really fun. I have a special place I take them. It's a whole thing. And I did not feel like it this day. I just didn't feel like it. And I felt this incredible pressure. I do this with everybody. If she talks to other clients and they say, hey, where did you go to dinner? What was the experience like? She's going to be like, oh, he didn't take me, or those kinds of things. But I've been doing this work and it was clear enough. And I didn't even want to give an example. And we had already talked about it and planned on it. And we did the pre-production. She knew she was going to dinner, all those kinds of things. It was midday. We were finishing her shoot. And I just shared with her at lunch, hey, I don't really feel like going to dinner tonight. And I know that's something I promised you, but I'd like to not do it if it's okay with you. Or I didn't even say if it's okay with you. I just say, hey, it just doesn't work. And she said, oh my goodness. I, after doing all this work, did not feel like dinner. I would so much rather go back to my hotel tonight and just chill out completely and be ready for tomorrow. But I felt this pressure, like you already had planned all these things and did all these things, so I need to go. Like, you have two people about to do something they didn't want to do because I was too afraid to voice that. And the second I voiced it, she was like, me neither.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could all get to this place in the world where we all could just trust that every person will say what works for them, it doesn't. Sure, sometimes will not be fun when the person you love is like, this doesn't work for me. Yeah. But I would so much rather have someone who loves me, who says it doesn't work for me, tell me that so that I could be with someone who it does work for.
Yeah.
Than for someone to be in a relationship or in a situation or out to dinner or with friends and it doesn't work for them and they're hiding it. Like, that's no fun for anybody. And yet we're all so afraid to just say this does or doesn't work for me because we're afraid to hurt each other's feelings. Like,
and take that to a bigger scale. That's how we're living our lives.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we could go on and on for hours, and I hope we get the opportunity to do that someday. But for right now, where can people get in touch with you if they're interested?
Yeah. So our company's Video Narrative, and they can go to videonarrative.com, which is fun. And then we also, I just co-founded something called Outspeak Media. And it's a really cool thing where we have now hired and trained international editors from all over the world. And people can get really good videos in a matter of weeks through a system that is so much fun. And when people go through this process, what we've been so much fun, having so much fun is like, it's like a Domino's tracker where like they click on their stuff, they upload their things. And then it says, your footage is here. And then it says, hey, now you're with this editor and they're working on it. And it's like 2 weeks later, it's so much fun. People like have a blast with this and they get popcorn on the week that they get their video. So Video Narrative is my company, and outspeakmedia.com is another great choice for people who just need a good video in a matter of weeks. Both great options.
I love it. I'll put all those links in the show notes. Chris, thank you so much for your time and your insights and your vulnerability and sharing your journey with us.
Oh man, it's so good to be with you, man.
And there you have it. You know, it's such an amazing thing to do this podcast because I'm never quite sure where the conversations are going to go. And I just let them go where they're going to go. And they always go in a better direction than I thought I was going to guide it in. It's the beauty of embracing the unknown and letting it go. But hearing Chris's journey of, you know, reevaluating and living that intentional life because he found that self-love and because he said, I'm not going to be happy ever living a life for other people. But to his point, as he has embraced the self-love and moved more towards that, he has been able to lift up other people as well, which is an incredible opportunity in life. And one could say perhaps within this format of self-love, he is actually serving people even better. So think about that. Think about that intentionality of life and who you're living for and who you could be for others if you truly were living for yourself. And it's funny, I know people sometimes say, well, that would be really selfish, but is it? Think about that. We've got more amazing episodes coming for you. If you have any topics you want, let me know, admin@annbonnie.com, and we will get your topics. I'll find somebody, or you can suggest somebody to be on to Dance in the Discomfort Zone with me. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.